This is Gilbert Gottfried, and I'm here with Frank. I forgot your name.
That's fine.
I'm sorry. Frank Santopadre.
Portion.
And yes, I'm here with Frank Langella. And Frank Santopadre, I think I said that already.
Yeah.
And this is Gilbert and Frank's Amazing Colossal Obsessions.
It is indeed that.
Could I just clear out some of these coffee cups before we get started?
Go right ahead. Coffee cups. Gilbert's particularly Flemish this evening.
So we
how are you,
to
Paul?
Talk about, I'm good. And I want to talk about one of Gilbert's favorite genres.
Oh,
yes?
Can I get one thing
he's got to do a
out
thank
of
you.
The way? When I came into the studio today, there was a package for me from a Perry Scholl in Philadelphia.
That's the guy.
Who painted a picture of me as Dracula.
Yes, with the fangs and the blood dripping
yes.
down. It's quite good,
yes.
Perry. So nice job.
We always get a big kick out of different artwork sent to us.
Yeah, people, by the way, are always asking where to send stuff. And Frank is very nice, and he receives stuff here at Nutmeg for us.
For a nominal fee.
For a nominal fee. So you can always send it to Nutmeg Studios here on West 45th Street in care of us. And
yeah, the receptionists are going to love that. Thanks, Frank. That's great.
Well, listen.
Keep
the card and letter coming.
If there's any women out there who want to send me naked pictures, just...
it's really not the climate for that.
No!
Oh, boy.
Hey, did you guys talk about this one at all? Because this is pretty slick.
We did. We talked about them on the last mini.
I knew that.
Yes.
Because I was totally paying attention.
Yes, last coloring book on the left. Yes, thank you for...
So you were going to say my favorite.
Yeah, Paul, what'd
your
you come
favorite,
up with?
What is this episode about?
This episode is part two. It's a long delayed part two. Because I think we did part one in September.
Yeah.
We did an episode about bad movie musicals, and it worked out well, and Gil had a good time, and we thought we'd bring it back.
I thought that's the one
that
we
the
were
size
doing.
Of it?
I just wanted to check. I didn't know if we were doing Gilbert portraits today.
You never
or
know.
Quite what.
You never know
and,
with him.
And if anyone out there could tell me if Richard Mulligan was in a TV series called The Hero.
I couldn't find it. I looked. Although,
really?
Well, also my phone died in the middle, but you may be right.
Well, excuse me. I'm the researcher
around here. I think
I didn't mean to take your job.
I think he played, if I'm not getting this totally ass backwards like I sometimes do, like a TV hero. Like he's an actor who...
You know who played
you
that.
You know, Sam Garrett plays brave TV cowboy star Jed Clayton.
He found
But the problem is he's under-coordinated.
Is that it? Richard Mulligan?
Yeah. Scared of horses and has allergies. With
rice, okay. Horses. That sounds like it.
What's the year on that, Frankie?
That would be 1966, 67.
Gilbert, you're good.
See?
Frank, now Frankie's taking your job.
Sam Garrett, yeah. Ruth Garrett. Oh, those are the characters. Richard Mulligan, Mariette Hartley, Victor French. And a lot of other people.
From Little House on the Prairie, Victor French. And Mariette Hartley from the woman that everyone thought she was James Garner's wife.
And
they used to do those commercials.
I was on her talk show.
You
for
were?
A
That's
yeah.
Right. What were those commercials for?
I think Polaroid.
Polaroid, was it?
Yeah.
Yeah, they
everybody
always
thought they were married.
Yeah, they were really popular.
Because they always showed them as husband and wife.
Yeah.
Right.
So everyone immediately thought.
I mean, that launched her career. I don't think she did much.
Mariette Hartley. She's been an actress in a lot of 70s television.
Yeah.
It's funny when you talk about actors playing superheroes, I think of Jack Cassidy on He and She.
Oh.
The Richard Benjamin show.
Yes.
Jack Cassidy was an actor playing a superhero.
Wow.
Because Richard Benjamin was a cartoonist who created the superhero. Do you remember any of this?
I remember, he was in two. Cassidy was in two Columbo episodes,
I
think.
Yeah, two good ones.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I remember that one where he's like the magician.
Yep, yeah. Like a Blackstone character.
And at the end, of course, Columbo finds out that it's him, and he's taking him away to jail, and he goes, he's the magician, and he goes, I thought I had performed the perfect murder, and Peter Falk goes, There's no such a thing, sir. It's only an illusion.
I never heard you, Peter Falk. I love it. It's bordering on Brando.
By the way, speaking of that, how about Jimmy Fallon's Gilbert?
Fantastic.
Jimmy Fallon, the first impression he did on Saturday Night Live was Gilbert Gottfried.
Yeah. Right. I was in the studio when he did it.
Were
twice.
You really?
Yeah. Twice I was there, and it sounded... Did I show you the clip?
Oh,
yes. I sent you the clip.
Very funny.
If anything happens to Gilbert, we just bring Jimmy in.
Yeah, he'll come
in. Nobody will.
I remember I was walking down 14th Street. I was going home, and there was like some electronics store. And it was at night, but they had the TV on. It was Saturday Night Live, and it looked like Hollywood Squares. And I saw some guy, you know, scrunching up his face. And at the time, he wasn't known. So I later saw him at some Saturday Night Live party. And
I said,
was that you?
I love it.
So, yeah, check
it's
it.
Like something out of a movie. He sees himself on television in an electronics store window.
Yeah. As the set collapses.
Right.
But that so this was on The View that he did it.
He
recently,
did on The View,
right?
But
so
check out
Jimmy Fallon on The View.
He did
Gilbert
it on
Gottfried.
The old when I worked on the old Joy Show for CNN. Yeah. He did it there too. So I was in the room twice, and it's dead on.
Oh yeah.
The dead
yeah.
on impression.
It's very funny.
You want to talk about bad movie musicals?
So we want to talk about bad movie musicals.
If we can stump this,
there
man.
Are plenty. We ended last time with a brief reference to Chorus Line and said we'd get back to that. I don't want to say too much about Chorus Line except it was a really bad musical, and the tragedy, of course, is the play was phenomenal.
I've never seen the movie.
The play was phenomenal. The movie just
saw the
musical. Everything that was exciting and touching and original in the show becomes maudlin and syrupy and horrible.
Did you see it? Did
film.
You see Chorus Line
no.
in the movie?
No, I'm heterosexual.
Okay. Allegedly. Okay, so that's considered a bad music.
That's considered unpopular,
a bad
music. So just
certainly.
To give you the kind of thing we're talking about here. Now, here's another thing I thought to just set the scene. I want everybody to be in the mood for this episode.
Okay.
Are some of the shortest running shows ever to hit Broadway.
Okay. Oh, you're setting a tone here.
I'm setting a tone here of shows that really we shouldn't even be reminding people about.
Go ahead.
It's too late
now. Is Moose Murders on there?
Moose Murders, I believe, is it? Yes, Moose Murders. Well, let me get to that. So did you remember the film High Fidelity?
Oh, yes.
Great,
that's a good movie.
Great movie.
Yeah.
Good book, great movie, terrible musical. It made the top 10 shortest runs on this list, 14 performances, 18 previews.
Zoinks.
This is from the TicketNetwork.com blog, by the way. There are some other things that the commenters mentioned, so we don't have everything here, but a few hits. Elling, based on the Norwegian film of the same name.
Don't know it.
I mentioned it only because I thought I could finally stump you guys and want to hear it. Nobody knows Elling. Lolita, 9 days after it began, closed.
Wow.
How can you go wrong with
Lolita?
Lolita
was a musical?
Lolita was a musical.
Oh. With what, Tommy Toon as Humbert Humpert?
I don't know.
So,
I don't know.
A musical about a pedophile.
I don't think it was a musical.
Yeah.
It's
okay.
Well, whatever it is, it closed after April.
Nobody.
Right. There's no way to tell now whether it was a musical or not. Carrie.
Carrie.
Novel,
yeah, that
was
a big flop.
Oh, that sounds like a ridiculous.
Here you go. A one-woman play starring Ellen Burstyn. As she told stories through the eyes of the title character, opened November 17, 2003, closed the next day after two total regular performances.
That sounds good.
The oldest living Confederate widow tells all.
Yeah, that's a famous.
It's a famous book. I don't know. I haven't read it, but the title is memorable. Glory Days is number two, which must have been a bad.
A Springsteen jukebox musical.
I don't think it was. I think it was just Glory Days, but it must have been suggested by the Springsteen song, I think. And number one, according to this list anyway, number one shortest thing that closed on opening night right after the first performance, Moose Murders.
Yeah, Murders is infamous.
Yeah,
so. I was at opening night of another legendary flop called Late Night Comic, which starred Robert Lupone, who was Patty Lupone's brother.
Oh,
and,
wow.
And I think it closed in 2 days, and I was there on opening night. I remember critics being suicidal during the intermission.
Oh, yeah.
During the comedy boom of the 80s, somebody decided that this would make a good Broadway musical. What else you got
for us? Oh, is this where we're going next?
I remember seeing reviews of that.
Late night comic. I went the opening night. I had freebies through the Writers Guild.
And it was horrible.
Yeah.
It was a good idea.
Yeah. So
is this where we're going next year or what? We've got a few things queued up, right? Can you see it from there?
I can see it. Yeah, I think I want to start with the chronological, with the first one, and see if we can stump him, the one I was holding up.
Which one?
That would be, boy, the production value of this show. It's just, I'm telling you. It's like a Cecil B. DeMille production.
Hold it closer so I can
we'll
read
it. We'll start with this one.
Yeah, okay, see it in the post. Don't make nice.
Let's start with this one and see if Gilbert and see if we can stump Gilbert.
Okay.
With it. This is a legendary bad musical.
Oh.
This is music from it.
Yes.
He's making another one. My friend, the doctor, says the sun is made of cheddar cheese. The doctor even knows the reason why. The facts are these. Try, if you please, pretending you're a lonely cheese. Wouldn't you want to try finding an apple pie? Of course you would. Maybe what the doctor tells me isn't altogether true. But I love every tale he tells me.
Who would that singer be? I'll give you a hint. You do an impression of him as a singer.
Oh, my God. It's not Newley.
It is.
It's
Anthony Newley. But what's the bad musical, the gigantic musical flop that he was singing?
That, you know, it sounds different, and he doesn't have quite that.
Yeah, not in that particular.
This must be earlier in his career.
Yeah. 1967, yeah. And a legendary flop. Anything?
Was nominated for the Academy Award for Best Picture.
Surprisingly.
How did it manage that?
Yeah.
Teach me everything you know. What? 2,000 languages? Certainly. We'll start at 8 o'clock tomorrow morning.
But that ring a bell, Gilbert?
For 100 years.
Then we'll start at 7 o'clock. There's not a moment to lose.
Well, that's a different musical. It's Rex Harrison and Anthony Newley from Dr. Doolittle.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
The budget went triple. It was supposed to be $6 million. It tripled in part because of numerous technical difficulties inherent with the large number of animals required for this. Those animals, you see the kind of trailers the animals demand.
Well, what I love is what I love is this. This is what I loved. I found this, and this was some research about the film. There are anecdotes of a goat who ate a script, a parrot that learned to yell cut, on set. But I love this. 1,200 animals. Did you say that? In one instance, ducks for the film were placed on a lake but had apparently forgotten how to swim and began to sink, and crew members had to jump into the water to save them. And here's my favorite. Animals also bit and defecated on the cast and crew.
Oh, jeez.
The bit with the ducks in the pond is probably funnier than anything in the movie. Actually.
Gilbert will love this. Anthony Newley and Rex Harrison did not get along. This is according to Wikipedia, which I know isn't always reliable.
I think he said Rex Harrison used to call him that Jew.
He's made, according to this, Newley was incensed by anti-Semitic comments that Harrison made. He was apparently jealous of the Jewish co-star's participation in the film and demanded Newley's role be reduced. Joffrey Holder, remember that actor?
Oh, yes, the Mr. Coolanuts.
He received racist abuse from Rex Harrison's entourage. How about that?
Wow.
Yeah.
So then Rex Harrison, we can safely say, hated blacks and Jews.
Only according. I wouldn't know if I'd go that far. This is all just according to Wikipedia.
No, I mean, I remember Anthony Newley saying in an interview.
They did not get along.
Yeah, he used to call him the Jew.
This also says there was a role, there was a character called Bumpo, played by Sammy Davis Jr. Or Sammy Davis was proposed for the role. And
boy, talk about the worst version
right.
to be with Rex. A black Jew.
Harrison insists they recast the role with Sidney Poitier, even though Poitier was not a musician or a musical performer. And they wound up cutting the part altogether. It was a very, very, it was a cursed production.
Yeah.
Through and through.
This here's from the New York Times review, Bosley Crowther. The music is not exceptional. The rendering of the songs lacks variety. And the pace is slow and without surprise.
Yeah. It's pretty bad. It's pretty tedious.
The funny thing is, then Sammy Davis had a hit with if I could talk to the animals.
Of all things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's much better. His rendition is much better than Rex Harrison's rendition.
I'm partial to Gilda Radner's Let's Talk Dirty to the Animals. Myself.
We will return to Gilbert Gottfried's Amazing Colossal Podcast after this.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
On May 10th, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes is coming to IMAX and theaters everywhere.
What a wonderful day!
This summer, one movie event will reign.
It is our time.
They stole my village.
I know where they're taking your clan.
Bend for your king.
Never.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Only in theaters May 10th. Tickets on sale now. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
And now back to the show. You want to try the next movie? You want to see if you can stump him on this one? And if we go long, we'll do a we'll do another part.
I got so many production values here.
Well, hang on. What's the next one I had queued, Frank?
Should I tell you? Won't that give it away?
No, I mean just run it. See if Gilbert knows it.
Here it comes.
And we'll jump.
We'll garden together and we'll play house.
I've been sailing about the seven seas, looking for some buddies who would sail with me, sail with me, sail with me.
And I've been waiting for someone like you, a man who could love me and will promise to stay with me, stay with me.
Any guesses on who that is?
Lost on this.
Why am I seeing Jack Nicholson for some reason here?
Well, you're trying to get on my hands. The year is 1980.
Yeah.
The singers you're hearing are Shelley Duvall and Robin Williams. And the movie,
oh, Popeye?
The movie is Popeye.
Oh, my God. Popeye was like, yeah, that was Altman.
Yeah, that's right.
And Altman, that was a... Right.
Who better to make a musical?
Oh, my God.
Robert Altman. You
know, fucking mess.
It's, the set is like some tipped, cockeyed thing. You wonder how anybody could stand up on it. It's a, just a horrible
Well, that was
movie.
A doomed production in that many was... ways. We talked to Paul Dooley about it. He was in it. He played Wimpy.
Oh, that's right.
And we had him on the show. The thing about that movie... And no one loves Harry Nilsson more than I do.
Yeah.
Those songs are terrible. Yeah. As Leonard Maltin referred to them in his movie review book, Alleged Songs by Harry
Nilsson.
Alleged songs,
and
yeah.
I remember, too, watching that movie, that there are these clumsy voiceovers.
Yep, yep.
Like they'll have a boat, and you won't see anyone talking, but someone will go... Oh, well, now we have to go to the island of so-and-so where we have to capture... And it's like they're telling the audience, because it's such a fucking mess, they have to have a voiceover tell you what these characters are doing.
I think it was one of those movies that was just plagued by recuts and reshoots.
Oh,
and
they
were in Malta forever, and they ran into bad weather. Paul Dooley, go back and listen to the Paul Dooley episode.
The originally... Altman was looking for Dustin Hoffman.
Yes, Dustin Hoffman and Lily
Tomlin
to play Olive Oil. It would have been interesting.
Right, yeah,
because he worked with Lily Tomlin a bunch of times, and the performances are good. Believe it or not, the Olive Oil's performance, Shelley Duvall and Robin are both very good.
Oh, yeah.
In this debacle. This thing that's kind of sinking around them.
I don't know. I'm not sure I can go with you on Shelley Duvall. That's why I mentioned Jack Nicholson, because she's had her share of...
She was tormented by Stanley Kubrick, so I feel sorry for her. But it is hard to watch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So totally.
And all that talent. Jules Pfeiffer write the screenplay, and Robin and Robert Altman, and you just... And Harry Nilsson, and how could you go wrong?
A complete mess. Yeah. Yeah. Right.
Want to try another one?
Yeah.
What was the next one cued, Frank?
This one.
This is from 2 years later, Gil. I'm giving you a hint. 1982.
Let me make sure I got the placed right. Stand by.
I'll give you money if you can name the singer.
Fellow Texans, I am proudly standing here to humbly see. I assure you, and I mean it. Now who says I don't speak out as plain as day? And fellow Texans, I'm for progress and the flag. Long may it fly. I'm a poor boy, come to greatness. So it follows that I cannot tell a lie.
You know what? It's not. But you know what that sounded like to me? That one, well, I'm a bill, and I'm going through
sound like
Congress.
Jack Sheldon.
Yeah, because when you pass a bill.
It's actually one of your favorite actors who is not known for singing.
Well, for good reason.
Take a guess.
God, it sounds...
He was a war hero. We've talked about him on the show.
Durning?
Charles Durning.
Charles Durning?
That is the best little whorehouse in Texas.
Oh, my God. Yeah, with Burt Reynolds and Lonnie Anderson.
Dolly Parton.
And I think Jim Nabors.
Yeah, right. And Tom DeLuise. He's actually in it. No, it was Dolly Parton and Burt Reynolds.
Here's a story I heard.
Go ahead.
On the set.
You're so off the reservation.
You notice
here.
How Gilbert never says anything about people he doesn't like.
Yeah.
Best little whorehouse. There was this guy, he said, he was there. He was working on it. And Jim Nabors was there with his partner.
Uh-huh.
And and his partner, even though gay, was talking about how much he wanted to fuck,
Dolly Parton.
Dolly Parton. and so,
good Lord.
One time, he's not on the set that day, and Jim Nabors calls, and someone takes the phone. And he goes, I guess his boyfriend's name was like George.
Uh-huh.
And this guy's name was George. So they said, and the guy so mistakenly goes, George, Jim Nabors wants to talk to you. And he goes, all right. And he says, hello. And he goes, you son of a bitch. You motherfucker. You're going to stick your dick in my ass and then fuck Dolly Parton? You think that I'm going to blow you after you fuck Dolly Parton? And that's what the classic... Little House.
That's beautiful.
Best Little Whore.
It's touching.
I have a tear running down my cheek. Where the hell did you come up with that?
This guy told me.
That it the other George?
Yes, the other George. I think it was Burgess Meredith. The other George.
I thought the punchline was going to be the guy says, excuse me, I'm sorry, I'll put the other George on. He was talking to the wrong. Was he talking to the wrong guy?
Yeah, no, he just stayed there. See. And was told off.
That's beautiful.
Was dressed down by Jim Nabors.
As Paul Schaefer would say, cute story. Do you have anything to add to that, Paul?
Cute story.
What I don't understand, and so many of these things doing the research here, this one was, let's see, this was, Durning was nominated for the Academy Award for Best Supporting Actor.
Uh-huh.
Not for his singing, apparently.
Yeah. No.
Golden Globe nominations for the Best Motion Picture, Comedy, or Musical.
I have to say,
there's a category.
It isn't terrible. It's not very good, in my opinion. My wife likes it, but it's not terrible. It's not on a Popeye level.
Right, but it's got all these awards and nominations and things. So
yeah.
That might lead you to think that the Academy Awards don't always go to the right people.
That's shocking. Gilbert's been snubbed for years.
Yes.
His fine work as Annie Sullivan in The Miracle Worker. That's been ignored too long. What was the next one?
Here it comes.
There's a bell up in your brain that's ringing,
making a crazy ding dong.
And if this band don't desert us,
then there's nothing in the world can hurt us,
long as we're singing our song.
Give me trumpets, legato.
Put some sexes with them.
Lost.
His name's been in the news a lot lately. The one who's singing the adult role.
Harvey Weinstein.
No, it's not the Harvey Weinstein musical.
But you're warm.
I do want to say watching this right now is more than a little creepy.
I know it is, and that's why I picked it.
Oh!
It's not the Harvey Weinstein musical.
Although, oh, jeez. Is it the Louis C.K.
No, it's not that either.
His career is tumbling like a house of cards right now.
Oh, jeez.
What's the
Kevin
musical?
Spacey?
Yes, but what's the musical?
Oh, well, I know he did that Bobby Darin.
That's what it is. It's from Beyond the Sea.
This is what's known as a vanity project.
Which he was too old to do.
Oh, yeah. He was way too old to do
45,
it.
45, I think.
And they put on that big rubber nose.
And the toupe.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, and the bad sideburns. I watched some of it last night. Oh, boy.
Lots of boys.
Yeah.
well, one of the boys is him as a younger, as it's the young Bobby Darin.
That's way too Freudian.
I know.
It's good. You know,
somebody told him to go fuck himself.
What do you have on Beyond the Sea, Paul?
That's in your
notes.
The thing that I liked about it, or the thing that I liked and didn't like, was these were a lot of great tunes. I mean, he did a lot of great.
Oh, yeah.
Bobby Darin did a lot of great
Bobby
stuff.
Darin's a genius. That's another conversation.
You listen to Kevin Spacey, and you want to be hearing Bobby Darin, who's, you know, even the silly stuff like Splish Splash, I'm Taking a Bath, and, you know.
Well, he loved him.
He
loved Bobby Darin. He had such a passion. It was a passion project.
Right.
But maybe one that shouldn't have been attempted.
My favorite part of that movie is I always love when characters have to tell the audience. They got to rely information on the audience. So John Goodman is Bobby Darin's manager in it. And Bobby Darin goes, look at me. I've accomplished nothing. And John Goodman, as the manager, goes, what are you talking about, Bobby? You've already gotten 16 gold records. An album that's gone platinum. You've been nominated for an Academy Award. You've been picked greatest performer in Las Vegas 5 years in a row. And it's like, okay, can I write this down? It's the
modern-day equivalent of the newspaper headline slamming down.
Yes,
that shows the passage of time.
Interestingly, Gilbert had trouble guessing which show we were talking about, but it turns out he knows the entire script.
He has an anecdote about each one that he can't guess. He hasn't guessed one, but he has a story. Is there one more?
And then John Goodman goes, wait, you're going to fuck Kevin Spacey and then fuck me in the
ass? All right.
This is one of my pet peeves in a lot of these musicals. At the time this was made, Kate.
One of my pet peeves is when someone fucks Dolly Parton and then thinks they can fuck Jim Nabors afterwards.
Well,
that's a pet peeve, is it?
Yes.
How often does that come up?
Constantly. It came up while I was talking about it.
God. That's a peeve you want to pet at any opportunity.
I'm not sure we can even finish this.
It's coming up now. Yes.
This may be telling in light of recent events, but in so many of these things, Kate Bosworth was 21 when the movie was made. He was 45.
Right.
It's
yeah.
like
well, Sandra you know, D was younger than Bobby Darin,
right?
But maybe
but you
not.
See this in these movies, The Music Man.
Yeah,
I don't know what the age difference was there.
Oh,
but
with
it had
Shirley
to be 20
Jones
years.
And
yeah.
Robert Preston.
Right.
That's a pretty good musical.
That's a great musical, but yeah. but again, it has that you know that age difference.
Yeah.
Even The Sound of Music, she was 16, he was going on 17.
Oh, okay.
You want to do
we
this?
Can edit that out.
You want to do this last one?
Here it comes.
Okay, Gilbert, you better get this one.
But with a man and you have one, add on a woman, and then you have two, add on a child, and what have you got? You've got more than three. You have what they call a family. Living together,
working together, just working together. That's what it is. Da, 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 da.
Of course.
Working together.
He knows this, too.
Just work. This was the one with Lee Ullman.
Yeah, yes. As Bette Midler said, I never miss a Lee Ullman musical.
Yes. Lost Horizon.
Lost Horizon.
Yes, yeah. That one I remember. They would play that a lot. Working together, playing together.
And ironically, since you're talking about working together, this movie ended the long and successful partnership between Hal David and Burt Bacharach.
Oh, my God.
Because,
oh,
did you know that?
No, I knew that was a Bacharach song.
Yeah, because...
This ended it, but when was this?
In 1973. Yeah, this is a terrible, terrible movie. I mean, this movie makes every worst list. I think it's in a book called The 50 Worst Films of All Time by Michael Medved. It is wretched on so many... Have you seen it?
I have not seen it.
You need to watch it. You've sat through this thing from start to finish?
I've seen bits and pieces of it,
now,
and I remember them playing that song.
Yeah. Well, so it's a remake of Capra's Lost Horizon from 1935, and the book by James Hilton.
Right.
Yeah. And it has this great cast, Peter Finch, Sally Kellerman, George Kennedy, Michael Young, Olivia Hussey you brought up.
Oh, yeah.
The great Bobby Vann.
Because I found out, someone told me Olivia Hussey is a fan of mine.
I love that.
Yeah.
John Gielgud, Charles Boyer was the High Llama. It is absolutely wretched. And just if you think Burt Bacharach and Hal David could do no wrong, watch this movie.
Oh.
Yeah.
Because
that song Gilbert sang is a good one, actually. I like that song, but I don't know the rest of the music.
Bobby Vann has a song called "Question Me and Answer," which you can find them on YouTube. It's pretty dreadful.
Yeah.
And I brought it up, I think, the last time we did bad musicals. I brought it up at the end. Because you can't have a discussion of bad musicals without bringing up Lost Horizon.
And I think the story goes, Bobby Vann.
Oh, no.
Fuck Lee Ullman.
Oh, no.
And then wanted to fuck Alec Guinness.
He wasn't even in it. John Gielgud.
John Gielgud. Well, that's
use
what,
some force.
Why are you dragging Alec Guinness into
that's
it?
That's what caused the problem. He was fucking John Gielgud, and while he was coming, he'd scream out, "Oh, Alec Guinness! Alec Guinness!" And that's what split them up.
They found their own Shangri-La right there.
I think you better sign off, Paul. I can't talk.
All right.
You're a very sick man.
And John Gielgud started screaming out, Jim Neighbors! Jim Neighbors!
This has been what we consider our own personal look at bad musicals over the last few decades.
Yeah.
Hey, fellas, we just got a call from HR. They want a word with all of us.
This one derailed quickly.
Yeah,
Gottfried, you're a mad genius.
Just for the sake of the listeners who can't see in the booth, each of us is sitting in his own corner. I want to assure everybody.
I am weeping. Well, this was an attempt at a bad movie musicals episode.
This was an attempt at a podcast.
The first part was just a warm-up.
I think some things about bad musicals managed to get squeezed in between the cracks. Gil, you want to take us out of this?
Yes, this has been Gilbert and Frank's Amazing Colossal Upset.
Thank you, Paul, for all your hard work.
Yes, thank you.
I thank you for nothing.
Colossal Obsessions.